Okay, John, here's a question. When you go to a doctor, what do you want her background to be?
Well, about med school, how about that? The residency, that sort of thing.
Okay, you want her to know.
I want her or him to be, and there are male doctors,
there
I understand.
Still, yeah.
I want them to be a human being, you know? I want them to be a technology savvy and scientific sort of based person, but I also want them to be a human being.
Okay, well, we actually have a doctor here, and we're going to just quickly, Dr. Muller, you, when you were in med school, you took organic chemistry, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, did it make you a better doctor to have taken organic?
No, it did not.
Whoa, and that's what we're talking about here today, folks. There is one program in the country that allows students to skip organic chemistry and also that other dread thing, the MCATs, the medical, what's that stand for? Medical whatever. Anyway, this program has managed to stay pretty well under the radar until now. It is called the Humanities in Medicine Program at Mount Sinai School of Medicine here in New York. And here to talk about it is the Dean of Medical Education at Mount Sinai, Dr. David Muller. You've already heard a little bit from him. And Kate Peer. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Kate is about to be a second-year medical student, and she applied through the Humanities and Medicine Program. Dr. Muller, let's start with you. What is this program?
This is a program that's about 20 years old. It was conceived by Nathan Case, who was then the dean at Mount Sinai, and it was an attempt to attract very bright, ambitious, liberal arts-educated students to the medical profession. As opposed to people who were focused almost entirely exclusively on science.
Okay, so what I remember from friends I knew in medical school and pre-med was the nights that they didn't sleep studying their organic chemistry and how everybody... Organic was it. That was the bugaboo. That was the thing you didn't want to take. What was the point of organic?
I guess it depends on who you ask. One of the points of organic is to filter out people who just aren't that competitive.
So it's not about chemistry, it's about psychology.
It's at least partly exactly about psychology, and that's been a concern in medical education for at least the last generation.
Okay, and before we get to Kate, give us some data on what you have found. Do the students who don't take organic and don't take some of these other courses do as well?
They do just as well, and in some instances they do better than their peers. But for the most part, they do at least as well. The difficult question to answer is how do they do for the rest of their career? It's easy to tell how they do in medical school, but once they're out there in the community practicing or doing research, that's a different question entirely.
And how many years has your program been in?
20 years.
20.
A little over 20 years.
Yeah. So you can get that data now. You can start getting that data.
That's exactly what we're in the process of doing now.
Okay, fine. Let's turn to Kate Peer. Kate, you just finished your first year of med school at Mount Sinai.
That's
What was your major in college?
I was a psychology major and an English and Spanish minor.
And how much science did you take?
So I took a year of chemistry. I took a year of biology. And then because I was a psychology major, I took some neuropsych classes and some cognitive psych classes. And then through the Humanities and Medicine program, we do actually take a little bit of organic chemistry. We take one summer as well as one summer of a bridge.
All right. So the big question is, when you got to med school, did you feel at a disadvantage because you didn't have that background of courses?
You know, I think I was at a disadvantage in terms of not knowing quite how to study science yet. I think learning how to study that much material in itself is a task, and it takes time to kind of figure out how to learn that much at once and apply it on a test. And if you've taken the MCAT, you have that confidence going into first year that you can, you know, succeed in these classes. So I think it's a lack of confidence that a lot of humanities and medicine students have going into first year, but it's something that they quickly overcome.
And so your confidence is all back, right?
Psychology
major. Psychology major. Does that mean you want to be a psychiatrist or go into one of those
specialties?
Yeah, possibly. All right. Well, wait a minute, John. You're the one that said you wanted the touchy-feely doctor, not the doctor with organic.
Right, exactly. It's fine for a psychologist. Dr. Muller, what if we're talking about brain surgeon here? Do we want, someone who can spout, you know, Yeats poetry and, do the humanitarian thing? Or do we want a scientist?
I guess it depends on the patient. There are patients who want someone who's really technically driven and knows the science. They don't care that much about bedside manner. And there are doctors out there You know, you can imagine the trauma surgeon who needs to just show up, fix something, and there is no bedside anything because they're... Right. But for the most part, I think most doctors, even the ones who are surgeons, since you picked a surgical subspecialty, I think most of us want someone who's got a little bit of compassion, a little bit of humanity, and maybe doesn't spout Yates, but can talk about the most recent movie they saw and put me a little bit at ease before I go under the knife.
Which, as it turns out, may have more implications in terms of healing than we had thought in the past, the psychological part of it. Kate?
Yeah, and just to interject, I think it's important to make clear that we do take a lot of science classes once we get to medical school. You know, it's not as though we...
You're not writing poetry the
whole
time.
Yeah, right. We're not just looking to cure people with words and talk to them. I mean, we are looking to do that, but we've taken a lot of science, and especially the first year, I can't believe how much I've learned. And it was a lot of catching up. That, you know, that was really important.
Right.
It's not an either-or. It's not an either-or kind of thing, I guess.
Well, exactly. Let me read you an email. Let's talk about this further. We got an email from a listener who was currently a doctor. Her name is Sarah. Uh-huh. Here's what she wrote. My gut response is that this is not such a good idea. The risk is that you end up with people who don't have the science chops to cut it in med school. And attrition, which is currently less than 1%, goes way up, wasting dollars in spots that could have gone to someone who won't quit. Dr. Mueller?
So there are lots of points along the way in medical school where that is tested. In every single course that the students take, they pass as often as their peers do. In the board exams that they take, they do as well as their peers do. And in terms of residency placement, which is very competitive, they do as well, if not better, than their peers do.
Okay. Well, another doctor wrote this. By passing the class, meaning organic, you prove your ability to take a huge volume of facts, cram them into your brain, process them, and spew them back on a test. This is a useful skill in medical school. What do you think?
I think that that's absolutely true. And it's something that you have to learn first year or else you can't, you know, you can't stay in. And it's something that all of my peers did learn.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Kate Peer, yeah, good luck to you. Second year medical student at Mount Sinai, Dr. David Mueller, Dean for Medical Education at Mount Sinai School of Medicine.
Weigh in like all our other listeners do. You know how to reach us. Here's how you can always start the conversation early by texting. Just text the word START to 69866. We'll tell you what's on next day's show. Give you a chance to weigh in. That's START to 69866. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Lynn Sharon for Celeste Headley, and this is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.